He didn't sign up for this. TikTok's boss walks after the app is labeled a U.S. national security threat. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. In a letter to employees today, Kevin Mayer said after 2 months with TikTok, he's decided to leave. Back in July, the Trump administration accused the company of being a threat to national security and gave it 90 days to be sold to an American firm or face a ban in the U.S. Mr. Mayer said he came to his decision to go after significant reflection about what the sale of the Chinese company's U.S., Canada, Australia, and New Zealand businesses will mean for its corporate structure. The former Disney executive came to TikTok in June after having played an instrumental role in some of the U.S. entertainment giant's biggest acquisitions and most recently overseeing the successful launch of Disney+. The BBC's Karishma Vaswani explains what TikTok hoped to achieve with Mayer at the helm.
The company was aware of the fact that it was being seen by the Trump administration as a national security threat, that it was Chinese owned. And after the experience that the Chinese tech giant Huawei had had in the United States, I think that it was trying to find a way to smooth its operations. And it wanted to ensure that it was seen not just as a Chinese company, but as an American one. And the fact that Kevin Mayer had worked for Walt Disney, he was seen as this sort of global guy. He understood the way the United States worked, but also how to interact with CEOs and business operations out in China. I think all of that was seen as an advantage.
So what does his departure mean then for TikTok now?
I think it underlines the difficulties the company is facing in the United States. I think it also is going to be quite interesting to see who might come on after him, because TikTok has got some pretty big challenges to face. A lot will depend, of course, on the politics in the United States as well, I think. But in the lead up to the elections in November, I think we should expect a lot more focus and scrutiny on Chinese companies like TikTok in the U.S. So whoever takes on that job, they've got their work cut out for them.
The BBC's Karishma Vaswani. Thank you.
Thank you, Victoria.
Well, Kevin Mayer isn't the only one handing in his resignation. The European Union's Trade Commissioner, Phil Hogan, has stepped down after coming under fire for breaching Ireland's coronavirus travel restrictions last week to attend a dinner held by the Irish Parliament Golf Society. The BBC's Andrew Walker has that story.
He's widely known as Big Phil, standing almost 6.5 feet tall with an expansive political persona. He's also a golf lover, an affection that has brought an end to at least this stage of his political career. Mr. Hogan says he had a negative coronavirus test before last week's event and insisted he did not break any law. But he has nonetheless apologised and resigned. As the EU's top trade negotiator, he had a big international presence, trying to resolve Europe's trade disputes with the US and seeking an investment deal with China. He had a key role in the bloc's post-Brexit trade negotiations with the UK. Following Mr. Hogan's resignation, the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen said she was grateful for his tireless work as a trade commissioner. Europe now has to find someone to fill his shoes. I'm the BBC's Andrew Walker for Marketplace.
Checking financial markets now, global shares are little changed as focus now turns to Jackson Hole, where Fed Chief Jay Powell will speak virtually at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. The U.S. dollar is higher against a basket of currencies ahead of those remarks. Meanwhile, here in London, shares of jet engine maker Rolls-Royce shed as much as 7.5% this morning. That's after the company reported a record loss amid the decline in passenger travel due to the coronavirus pandemic. Tonight is the final evening of the Republican National Convention, and President Donald Trump is expected to accept his party's renomination with a speech from the White House. The president has made ending reliance on China a key pillar of his second-term platform, and over the past 4 days, RNC speakers, including Vice President and Secretary of State, have reiterated that call.
This president stood up to China and ended the era of economic surrender.
He has ended the ridiculously unfair trade arrangement with China that punched a hole in our economy. Those jobs are coming back home.
But are they? Chad Bown, senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics, is skeptical of the president's goal to bring back 1 million jobs from China.
I think it's highly unlikely. It's hard to see what that would mean in terms of what industries, and the numbers are just astronomical. And with trade, that's just not really how that works.
Is there a realistic number that he could be targeting to bring back?
No, not really. I mean, I think, you know, we've seen President Trump impose a lot of tariffs on China. That may mean that all of a sudden Americans start to buy things from countries outside of China, because now it's more expensive. If you want to buy something from China, it's 25% more expensive because of those tariffs. But if all of a sudden we start buying from, you know, American suppliers, that's not necessarily more jobs in total. That may mean more jobs of a certain type. But, you know, before the pandemic hit, we were already at full employment. And so I think it's just, this is not how trade works. It's not really a job creation kind of thing.
So the trade spat, which caused higher tariffs, as you mentioned, was one way I think the administration might have hoped to encourage companies to bring some of those jobs from China back to America. Is the reality, though, that companies have found workarounds for those higher costs that the tariffs have brought? And instead of moving jobs to America, they've moved jobs to other places in Asia, for example.
So they might move jobs to Asia, reorient their supply chains that way. They might make things using robots and machines and technology. You know, it's not as simple as just saying we're going to put tariffs on China and all of a sudden a lot of American companies are going to start producing things here in the United States that are all of a sudden going to create lots and lots of jobs. It's just not how things work.
Chad Bown, Senior Fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
There's a lot more where that came from. You can hear my full conversation with Chad. Just head to marketplace.org later this morning. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's a speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.